It was a lovely morning, and I was dropping my mom off at the White Rock Museum, where she used to be a volunteer. This was several years ago. And as I was dropping her off and she was getting out of the car, she said, "Rona, I'm a little worried because Tracy, my sister, left early today for her appointment. And normally she's back by the time we leave for me to come to the museum, and she's not back yet, and I'm a little concerned." Rona's response, "Oh mom, stop worrying, you're always worrying so much." And she's like, "Yeah, I know, but I'm worried." Rona's response, "Mom, you're going to be late." This is what you call an epic fail in empathy. And I drove away thinking, what just happened? At the time I was fine, but it was after I'd left and I started to drive and I had this feeling of ick, that I'd done something that didn't feel loving. It didn't feel like I was making a connection. And of course Tracy was fine. Of course by the time everybody got home, Tracy's just sitting there having a cup of tea. But that really wasn't the point, was it? The point was that I wasn't there with my mom. I dismissed what she was experiencing. And in doing so, I undermined the likelihood that she would ever tell me something like that again. Because all I did was poo-poo it. And I think about how often I do that. And I'm going to ask you all to consider how often we each do that. Part of the reason we do it is because we want to ease somebody's burden. So we want to tell them they don't have to worry. But in the process of doing so, we break an opportunity for connection and sometimes make people feel pretty crappy. So remember the golden rule. It's in every religion, pretty much. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is as opposed to the Brooklyn golden rule, which my husband, Walt, will tell you, is do unto others before they do it to you. That's what he grew up with. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I realized that this wish to make someone feel better by making them feel worse, it doesn't work. It breaks this connection. And I realized also on thinking about it that nothing demonstrates love and respect more than to be with someone with whatever they are feeling. If we are to live as love, if we are to live in love, if we are to be the presence of love and acceptance and safety for the people who we care about, then that means that we need to let them have their feelings. And as the song says, be there. It doesn't say we're going to go fix you. It says that we're going to be there. Why is it important? Because at the heart of our human experience is the longing to know that you matter. And whenever we are not there for someone in their feelings, there is an underlying message that says what you're experiencing doesn't matter. What my point of view is actually the way. So what is this idea that I want to share with you today? It is the idea that we begin with empathy, that we begin any experience that we're having, whether it's to have a difficult discussion, whether it's to ease someone's worry, whether it's to be in a place of joy with someone else, whether it's anywhere on that range of emotion, of human experience, we start with empathy. Empathy first, everything else second. Everything else second. Alfred Adler wrote that empathy is seeing with the eyes of another, listening with the ears of another, and feeling with the heart of another. In my language, when I think of empathy and I try to put words about what empathy might mean, I think of it as the ability to identify with an emotion that someone else is experiencing, and then to offer them your compassion and your understanding of that experience. To identify with their feeling, and then to be there. It's this willingness to see what someone else is feeling and to be willing to identify it. And sometimes what happens, though, is a person is feeling worry, as in the case of my mom, but it was not my experience at the time, and that's the problem. Because empathy says, oh, that person is experiencing worry. When have I experienced worry? Do I know what that feels like? And can I be with them in their experience of worry? Of course, when we think of it that way, we realize that there is no feeling under the sun that none of us, that is unique to any one of us. We have all felt, at times, worry and fear and upset and sadness and joy and grief and irritation and anger and patience and impatience. We've all experienced all of the range of feelings. And empathy encourages us to identify with the time that we felt the way they are feeling. And one nice way to think about it, to know what the feeling is imagine what their emoji looks like. And so when someone says, you say to someone, how are you feeling? And they say, fine. You're like, what's that emoji? There isn't one. What does fine mean? Happy, peaceful. Those are emojis. So imagine this person saying, I'm worried. Picture what that looks like, and then picture it when you felt that way. feelings are universal. This is different from sympathy. Sympathy is when you stand and look at someone and say, I'm sorry you're feeling that way. I'm sorry you're going through that. And it's true that that's better than not having sympathy. But empathy is one step further. Empathy is, you're worried. I know what that feels like. It hurts. It's scary. And I'm with you. You see the difference? Sympathy is, I'm sorry you're feeling worried. Don't worry about it. And this leads to my next slide, which is what empathy is not. Empathy is not one-upmanship. Oh, you're hurting? Well, you should see what I'm hurting about. You don't have to be worried about that. You should be worrying about what I'm worrying about. You shouldn't be upset about that. You should be upset about what I'm upset about. Empathy is not minimizing someone else's experience. It is being with that person because you've known that experience too. Empathy is not platitudes, empty words designed to make you feel more comfortable in their discomfort. And there are some things that we say thinking that they're going to make things better. Things like, at least you have another one. At least you'll have another, your child just passed away, at least you have two more. At least you lost one arm, at least you've got another. We use at least, I'm taking an extreme example, but we use at least all the time. Thinking that we're showing someone the brighter side of life. Look on the bright side. Well, sometimes looking on the bright side is great, but first, empathy. Right now, the experience you're going through sucks. And I'm with you in that sucking. And then later you can do the at leasts. But first, be with them in the experience they're having now. Here's another one. Time heals all wounds. I hear giggling. I hear smirking. Yes. We know all of that is true. It's a both and. It's not an either or. But before we go to the, put your spiritual hat on and everything is all good always, which is true with like big capital T, the human experience is, this hurts. It's scary, whatever it might be. Empathy. When were you feeling the feeling? Can you be with this person as they're feeling it? No, it's God's plan. That's another one. It's God's plan. Don't do it. Also, no explaining. No mansplaining, womansplaining, kidsplaining, grandma-splaining. No splaining. When someone is in a place where they need you to be present, when they need a friend, they don't need you to be making it all okay by explaining how things could be different. And speaking of that, no should. No, you don't have to worry. No dismissing. No shaming. Shaming is perhaps the purest way to make sure that people are going to change behavior because of something that you want, not because of something that they want. It is not a great way to encourage a change in behavior. No fixing. No interrogating. No, what were you thinking? I screwed up. I didn't balance my checkbook and I've overdrawn my account. It's not the time to say, what were you thinking? It's the time to say, oh man, that's horrible. I've done stuff like that before and it hurts, it's scary. Empathy first, everything else second. How do we do that? I have a bunch of ideas for you. The first is to listen. To listen. To be in a place where you aren't speaking. You actually don't need to talk. You just need to be with someone. If you must speak, say some of the things that I just said. Oh, you're experiencing that? That's horrible. Listen. Remember when you've felt that way too. And be open. That's not another one. Be open to the idea that what they're experiencing may not and will not be the same as what you're experiencing, but that does not mean that it's not a valid experience. That's the third thing. Validate. If I had only done that with my mom, if only I had said, oh, you're worried about her. That's horrible. That feels uncomfortable. Are you okay with going in? And then I could say, she's very likely going to be okay. But by cutting it down right off the, like I just cut her down off the knees. Validate the person's experience, even if it's not your experience. It won't be your experience. You're a different person. But it doesn't mean that their experience is invalid, that it's somehow wrong. And then empathize. Empathize means meeting somebody where they are. Think of that story of the Good Samaritan. You know, the Good Samaritan comes across somebody who's on the side of the road and they go to the person who is suffering. We miss that, you know? The idea that we go to where they are rather than insist that the person who is suffering come to us. Meet them where they are. And then be there. What are they experiencing? Recently, I had some really horrible news. And I discovered the gift of presence. Because I told Walt this news, and he turned off the television, and I thought I was fine. And we spoke for a little bit. And I said, I'm just going to go to bed. And I'm going to call Jill, my sister Jill, first, and let her know. So he's like, okay, are you sure? no problem. So he turns the television back on, and I go in the room, and I speak to Jill, and I cry a little as I'm telling her this news. And I hang up the phone, and I go to the bathroom, brush my teeth, and in the bathroom is when I started to sob. And through the door, over the television, I don't know how that happened because I swear Walt's losing his hearing. He heard or sensed something. And the man came into the bathroom and held me. No words, not even a pat on the back, nothing that was a there, there. Just presence. The gift of empathy, the power of empathy. Because what's true is all that other stuff will come later. The need for correction, the need for conversation, the need for action, whatever it might be, all of that can happen after. Lead with empathy. Listen. Be open. Validate. Empathize. L-O-V-E. Ha ha. Caught ya. Love. If in doubt, remember that golden rule. Do unto others as you would have done to you. Think of those times when you've been there. Remember the things that worked for you. Empathy first, everything else second. I bless you.